This is Seattle's Morning News. Dave Ross with Colleen O'Brien. And visiting us from Seattle Sports 710, here is morning host Mike Sauk to explain the Seahawks schedule. Do they have like a is like a story pitch team at the NFL where they can pitch like the perfect opening game that will get everybody riled up and packing the stadium?
Short answer, yes.
I figured that.
Right. I mean, short answer is yes. Generally, Dave, I will. Can I be transparent?
Please
on your show?
Be transparent.
Am I allowed to be honest here? Is this a safe space?
It is.
I usually hate this story. Seriously, everyone has a story in sports over the course of the year that you know is going to come up, and you're going to have to go on the air and come up with something to say about it. And most years, I have almost nothing to say about the schedule. You already know who the team is going to play. You already knew who was at home, who was on the road. It was really just putting those games in order and on what dates they were going to be. And for the most part, most years, this was just oh, that's the week I can go on vacation. Okay, great. Honestly, I could never really get myself too into it. But
yes.
This year, having Russell Wilson week one here at Lumen Field, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's
right.
Just
I mean that's definitely there's a story there. And really the story is how do you react, right? Are you gonna cheer him? Are you gonna boo him? Are you going to be passive-aggressively indifferent? I think the answer is probably C, given where we live.
Yeah.
I'm probably in the booing camp because I'm from the Northeast.
Really?
Well, that's how we handle things in the Northeast.
That's true, it is.
Right?
It?
People leave, and then you boo them.
But you change your habits when you move to a different area of the country. You become Seattle Knights.
I haven't quite done that yet.
Really?
Not yet. Give me, it's been 15 years. Give me another 15, maybe. I guess what the thing for me is, long-term, you're going to cheer Russell Wilson. He's going to come back. He's going to be in the Ring of Honor, right? You're going to give him a thank you for everything he did and accomplished and all the joy he brought to people in Seattle over the course of a decade that he spent here. Mm. But right now, I don't feel any need whatsoever to cheer for him. Right now, he's the guy who shot his way out of town, who didn't want to be here, who went to handpicked his landing spot.
Yeah.
And I'm not wild about that. I'm going to boo that.
Wouldn't this be like the NBA announcing they were going to play an Oklahoma Thunder game at the new Climate Pledge Arena?
Well, by the way, shouldn't they? If and when they finally, do bring a basketball team back to Seattle, don't you think that should be game number one?
I guess so.
I mean, if the NBA, they like their soap opera, they like their drama just as much as the NFL does. This schedule is littered with moments like that they can promote.
So what should my narrative be when I go to the, opening football day watch party?
Yes.
Is it that because they're bringing back Russell Wilson, just sort of, rubbing in your face, that this is a must-win game for the newly reconstituted Seahawks?
Well, yeah. I mean, certainly this Seahawks team, I don't know how many must-win games they're going to have in year one. But wouldn't it be fun to send Russ home with a loss?
Absolutely.
I mean, after saying, I don't want to be there, and his objections to the way he was being used and what was being put around him, and then he handpicks Denver. I'm not convinced that was the best deal they could have gotten. I think they could have gotten more from Philly and maybe some other teams, but Russ wanted to go to Denver, so that's where they sent him.
Yeah.
If you sent him home with a loss, not only would that be entertaining from a narrative perspective, it's good for the Seahawks. Right. Every game Denver loses is a little bit better that pick is. So, yeah, you should be rooting against Denver all year long. I mean, hopefully Denver goes 2-15 and you end up with the number two pick in the draft.
Yeah. Now let's look at the flip side. If it turns out this is like a Mariners like season for the Seahawks.
No. Jeez.
Does that leave an opening for people to give their hearts to soccer instead?
No, this is probably going to be a down year for the Seahawks, right? Yeah. I mean, they don't really have the quarterback situation set. It's hard to win consistently in the NFL without that. That's not to say they won't win some games, but it's hard to see this team as a Super Bowl contender just kind of based on their roster right now. But they're a year away from probably trying to figure that out. So, no, hopefully this does not do anything to improve the legacy of soccer while diminishing the NFL.
Okay. No. Now, in terms of the Seahawks organization itself, my impression has been that, thanks to the wealth of the owning family, they can afford to do whatever it takes to win. Is that still the attitude?
Well, I think it is in terms of that, but in an era where the salary cap prevents them from just, money whipping everybody else, it's worth something, but it's not worth what it would be in baseball, right? If the Allen family owned a baseball team and decided to go spend what the Dodgers do. You know, you could change. I mean, that's what's happened in New York with the Mets, where the Mariners are later today. Steven Cohen has decided to just spend an ungodly amount of money, and nobody can do anything about it. In the NFL, you got a salary cap, right, and a salary floor that says even the poorest owner has to spend roughly what the richest owner does. So while Jody's money is helpful, right, and it can make for better facilities and better coaches, and, you know, there is an edge, it's not like it would be in another sport. Hmm.
So will this new era settle once and for all the question, was the magic due to Russ or Pete?
I don't think it will. No, I mean, I think that that's a tough question to ask or to answer. I think at the end of the day, it was a good combination, right? They came together, all of them, and it wasn't even just Russ and Pete. I mean, you have a Legion of Boom and the defense and Marshawn Lynch and Doug Ball. I mean, it was a collection of some really impressive individuals who came together to form that championship team. I don't know that you're going to, I mean, Pete doesn't have a quarterback right now. Yeah. Long term, could this settle that conversation? Maybe, but I don't know about short term.
Mike Salk, Seattle Sports 710. Thank you, Mike.
Of course.
In the nation's northwest corner is Washington.
It is Friday, and our resident historian Felix Pinnell joins us every Friday morning for All Over the Map, a quick look at the stories behind local places and things. This week, it was recently added to the State Heritage Register. It is one of the tallest structures of its kind in Washington. So tilt your head back and get a look at the Onalaska Smokestack. Hi, Felix.
Morning. Yeah, this is down in Lewis County, about 100 miles south of Seattle, roughly 10 miles east of I-5. Onalaska, it's an old timber town. One clue is that the mascot of Onalaska High School is the loggers. Another clue is what we're talking about today, a tall and skinny artifact of an old mill that closed 80 years ago. Its official name is the Carlisle Lumber Company Smokestack. John Blair is a native Onalaskan who led the successful Heritage Register nomination process.
Well, you can see it from a lot of different places, especially on the hillsides looking down into Onalaska. It's about 225 feet tall, so it's very noticeable. And it's just a big concrete tower, very tall, an incredible landmark.
Blair's a board member of the group that manages the park where the smokestack stands and where the old mill pond is now called Carlisle Lake. It's a popular fishing spot because it has its own hatchery run by the nearby high school. Now, the tall smokestack was built sometime in the 1920s, exactly when is unclear. Nominating it to the Washington Heritage Register is part of a larger strategy to attract visitors to explore Onalaska's interesting history. Now, the sprawling Carlisle Mill complex shut down in 1942. That meant as many as 900 jobs all went away and really devastated the town. There was a fire, and then they demolished all the other mill buildings in the 1940s. But the stack was left standing because it was just too expensive and too dangerous to tear down. Apparently, that didn't discourage some Onalaska high school kids who tried to knock it over by detonating dynamite at its base a few times in the 1960s. Yep. True story. They were fortunately unsuccessful. Now, we have some current and vintage images of the Onalaska smokestack at My Northwest, and here's where I'd love to get some help from Cairo listeners. Onalaska doesn't have a monopoly on this smokestack thing. There are others around the area that are still standing, even though the mill or whatever it originally was built for is long gone. I can think of two off the top of my head. One is in Monroe, right by Highway 2. Another's in Stanwood, right there, right in town from the old Hamilton Lumber Mill. But I know there are others, and I especially want to see current photos taken by our listeners. A couple of years ago, we put together a gallery of steam locomotives that were on display around the state. I want to do the same thing with smokestacks. I want to become the authority on big, tall, old smokestacks.
Wait a second. You want to save our smokestacks crusade now?
No. I don't think any of these are they're not in danger, unless there's some high school kids from Onalaska who've gotten more powerful explosives. I think they're safe. But I want to put together a little story that in a gallery showing them all, because I think they're kind of cool to track where they all are over the state and put together a little history.
Here's an idea. I think you should put a link on your webpage at mynorthwest.com.
That's exactly what we've done. You can go there, you can contact me, you can send me pictures that you take yourself of these smokestacks, and we'll make you famous for being a photographer, and we'll make those smokestacks famous for being a part of Washington history.
Felix Pinnell, have a great weekend, Felix.
You too, Dave.
This is Seattle's Morning News. Dave Ross with Colleen O'Brien, and joining us, the host of CBS's Face the Nation, Margaret Brennan. I was hearing questions this morning about Senator Rand Paul and why he wants to delay this latest bill to aid Ukraine. So what's his angle?
Well, look, Senator Rand Paul likes to be an outlier on a lot of things. And the junior senator from Kentucky, as Mitch McConnell referred to him, is not going to stop the aid, but he will perhaps slow down the ability of Congress to get it passed quickly into law with these objections. The senator from Kentucky says that this is about trying to make sure there's efficiency here and not overspend. There's been about $50 billion in U.S. assistance pledged over just about 2 months, which is an incredible amount. And it's passed with bipartisan support. So in many ways, Senator Paul's criticisms here make him an outlier to his party.
So is there evidence that some of this money's been wasted?
Well, there's a call by him and others to have some kind of investigation. But like I said, it's still pretty early on. I mean, we're talking about incredible amounts of pledged aid. Mm-hmm. Not all of it has been exhausted. The Biden administration has said the portion that was specifically allocated to weapons purchases is just about to run out, which is why they say they need this new authorization, because Congress holds the purse strings very quickly. So there isn't yet some full analysis of whether they were completely efficient with every dollar and penny.
Yeah, but this is just a delay, right? The Senate can just hold a vote next week.
Mitch McConnell, the Republican leader, has said this is going to happen. It's just making it, more complicated.
Okay. Also making it more complicated is that Sweden and Finland have announced they want to join NATO. And Finland seems to be really in a hurry because they share a 800-mile border with Russia. Mm-hmm. And I hear that NATO is ready to accept. So what is that? I mean, Russia is obviously going to be really upset about this. So what does that mean?
Right. Well, it just got more complicated because this morning, the president of Turkey, and remember, Turkey is a NATO ally. They are part of that 30-nation alliance that has vowed to defend each member state. An attack on one is an attack on all. That's what Finland and Sweden want to become part of. And President Erdogan said today that he may not support plans by Sweden and Finland to join. And that could be a real problem here because you need this unanimous consent by the existing members for a new one to join fully. So it's not clear, since this news is just breaking, exactly how complicated it is about to be, because just a few hours ago, it seemed all but certain this was on track to happen within a very short period of time. Yesterday, a Finnish official told me they expected to have it all in place before June, before the end of June, which is when the next big NATO summit will be held in Spain.
How genuine is Finland's concern here? Do they really think that Russia would invade?
Well, look, Vladimir Putin did what most European officials seemed to doubt, which was to actually go ahead with this full-scale invasion of Ukraine and bombing a European capital. He terrified European leaders. And certainly for those countries who are not currently NATO members, who have a Russian-speaking population, as Finland does, who share a border, as Finland does, they do feel like they could be next on the hit list. And there is very much concern about those who are right there on that close proximity to Russia. So this is a real issue for them. And this is really tremendous because it's caused this sea change in public opinion within Finland and a major shift in their foreign policy, because they had this official position of neutrality to try to have a good relationship with their neighbor, Moscow, and with Washington at the same time. So they had this position of neutrality, and they're about to throw that out the door within just the next few days when this vote is put forward to their parliament.
And how able would Russia be, though, to actually do that? I thought their military was already pretty much stressed to the limit in Ukraine.
Currently, right now, we are seeing the vast majority of their army being dedicated to this assault in Ukraine. Yes, they are certainly stumbling in their ability to execute. Yes. But the broader concern I hear from European and U.S. officials when they talk about how does this war play out is that you could see some kind of locked stalemate. You could see some kind of temporary pause in fighting. And then Russia could try again or go at it another way. So, this is what European leaders are talking about. I spoke to the UK Secretary of State for Defense just a few days ago, Ben Wallace, who said that next NATO meeting is going to be about planning for Vladimir Putin to be around for the next 10 years or more and how to contain him. So for Finland, that's what they're looking at. They're looking at Vladimir Putin's Russia over the next 10 years or more and what threat that could be to them.
Margaret Brennan, the host of Face the Nation. Margaret, thank you.
Thank you.
Time for your daily dose of kindness. It's sponsored by Heritage Homecraft. A grandmother from Philadelphia known for carrying around a bouquet of flowers, sometimes hundreds of them at a time, often getting them from shops where no one wants them, is spreading the love. CBS's Caitlin O'Kane reports.
Patricia, who's from just outside of Philadelphia, has been running the Happy Flower Day Project since 2013.
I was living with my mom, and she was about 88, and we were trying to think of fun things to do every day, but it seemed like we were just visiting her friends in nursing homes.
Patricia doesn't just hand out flowers. She's come up with 150 little random acts of kindness, and she's compiled them in a book.
My friends and I would occasionally just say, oh, this is Random Act of Kindness Day, let's go do something.
Those who want to know 150 ways to sprinkle kindness in your community can find them in Patricia's book. For Patricia, giving back to others is easy. In fact, it's her passion.
I think I was just raised by parents that did lots of kind things. Do all the good you can, in all the ways you can, whenever you can, while you can, or whomever you can.
You know what will make a sunny day even better?
What?
And a really easy act of kindness? Smile at somebody.
Yeah.
If you notice everybody's looking down or they don't make eye contact anymore to say hello, it's really fun to get people to look up and say hi by going, hey there. Good morning. And
just they almost to a look, perfect stranger guy?
Yeah, and they just look taken aback, like, oh, somebody's talking to me. But inevitably, they walk away smiling. So
I'm glad they're not wasting the unsold flowers, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah.
It seems like a terrible thing to just put those into compost.
Yeah.
Give them away. Mm-hmm. 747. And now, coming to you live on Seattle's Morning News, on loan from Gian Ursula, here is G. Scott. So we were just talking lawns, as Colleen and I do most mornings, you know, during the breaks. We talk landscaping, you know, how you get the greenest lawn, the whole thing. And you tell the story. I mean, it's your hometown, Spokane.
It's been a long bugaboo for me. I don't understand the purpose of a manicured lawn with perfect grass and all of the, you know, trimmings for it. I think it's a waste of time, a waste of water, a waste of money. And I saw the other day that Spokane City Council is looking to restrict when people can water their lawns, which has happened around here because of drought reasons. I still keep an eye on Spokane because things stay interesting over there. And I thought, why don't we talk about this idea that you wouldn't have to ration water if people would just be smarter about how to landscape around their home, which is leave it to nature. Let the bees have the dandelions. That's their first food of the season. Why are you spraying fertilizer and pesticides when we're in a climate crisis and there's wildfires in Western Washington now? To me, a lawn is a luxury that we can't afford anymore.
Yeah, I agree with you. Now, I have a nice manicured lawn. I'll be honest with you.
I knew it.
I really do. But that's only temporary. Right now, we're working on the inside of the house. Mm-hmm. And then the next project probably will be next year in 23. We'll work on the outside of the house.
To do what?
To do exterior stuff. But one of those will be getting rid of grass.
Thank you.
Yes.
Zero scape.
There's just no, I mean, like I said, we have to have it there now. No, I don't want my grass to be brown because it just, I don't know.
Well, you can put it there instead.
Rocks and nice little landscape. Yeah.
A desertscape?
Yes. Yes. I agree with Colleen. Like, first of all, we are using up way too much water.
Yeah.
That's number one. And number two, what do we use in order to continue to keep our grass green?
Chemicals.
It's not good. It's not good for anyone. The kids, the animals, the insects, nothing. So I'm one of those that, not now.
Yeah.
Call me a hypocrite, but in 23, I want to get rid of the grass.
I'll
and if anything, in some areas in the backyard, you can go get the artificial turf.
Right. A friend of mine just did that, and she said it's the best thing they ever did.
It looks great.
Yeah, and you don't have to worry about it turning brown. You don't have to weed it. You don't have to water it and all of that. It's just, it's smart, but it's really expensive.
I mean, nothing wrong with turning brown, but...
Yeah. Oh, I used to let my lawn turn brown. Oh, I see. You're making a Rachel joke, yes? No.
So, but again, one of the things that I wanted to talk about was sexual harassment.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, that's a sharp turn.
Yeah, that's a sharp turn. So, but the judge in the UK comes out to have said that someone gets in trouble for sexual harassment because they called someone bald?
Yeah.
What's up with that, Dave?
No, not.
Yeah. Judge in the UK ruled that calling somebody bald or, you know, making fun of them for being bald is sexual harassment because baldness affects men more than women, and therefore it's a gendered insult.
Dave, do you think that that would be sexual harassment?
Well, am I allowed to speak as a male who's balding?
This is a safe space.
It's a safe space.
Okay. No. I've called myself bald from time to time, so you know, it's just a fact.
You've got plenty of hair.
Look over here, Colleen.
Oh, well, sure, there's some thinning, but you still have hair.
Thank you.
I was trying to find it, and James and I had a discussion on the phone. I thought, you know what, this would be a good topic to talk about with Colleen. Like, where is the sexual harassment in showing someone or letting someone know or reminding someone that they are, in fact, balding?
I'm just trying to imagine a scenario in which somebody is trying to land a zinger on a guy and goes, yeah, well, you're bald. And then they sue you for sexual harassment and win. I just don't think that's what I would go for to sexually harass a man, is to call him bald, right?
What's worse?
Yeah.
Reminding a gentleman that he's balding or letting your female colleague know to smile?
The smile part.
Oh, is that worse?
I don't know. For me, it is. I think it's really annoying. Is it sexual harassment? It can be, depending on how it's delivered. But bald is beautiful, baby. I feel like men are so, you know, they get so much shame, like internal shame for losing their hair. And they try everything from comb overs to growing it out and having a ponytail and denying that they're bald. And I think most men who bald and then just go ahead and take off the hair, they look great.
But isn't that why Chris Rock got slapped?
What?
Why did Chris? Oh, that is.
But that was against the woman. Yeah, so it was. Yeah. So
well, then it is sexual.
Even though Will Smith laughed first. Did you see that?
Oh, yeah. No, we have fully documented that whole incident.
You know what I mean?
Ad nauseum.
So interesting.
I just thought I'd mention that.
Yes.
Well, but also she has a disease. So was that.
Alopecia.
Yeah, right. Alopecia. Is so that a disease or is that a condition? I don't know.
Condition, because myself had alopecia for a little area
so
in my,
before
on my
we
head.
Make a ball joke, whether it's male or female, we need to check whether the person has a condition. So I would say, just to be on the safe side, having listened to your discussion, before doing the ball joke, check with the object of the joke. First of all, do you have a medical condition? Because I'm about to make fun of your head. And if he says, I'm sorry, I have a medical condition, then you just back off.
Yeah.
Make fun of some other part of his body. After having checked if he has a medical condition there as well.
Maybe we can just all upgrade our sense of humor. Right?
I don't think that's going to work.
Oh, is it not? Are we just getting worse?
It's worse. We don't accept jokes like we used to, right? And actually, I think it's a good thing. Because growing up in school, there were some harsh things that were said. And I don't think that they should be allowed anymore. I mean, you can only tell so many your mama jokes. I mean, that just was not.
Those were good times.
Yeah, it was. It was, Colleen. Wait a minute. You're getting me in trouble. I'm telling you that they shouldn't be doing that today. Mm-hmm. And then you remind me about how they were good times.
It was good. Landing one of those felt good.
You're from Spokane.
I'm from Marysville.
Yeah. Are you from Marysville?
Yeah, I got down with Spokane for 5 years, but I'm from Marysville.
It went down in Marysville.
Huh? Yeah. No
Did
doubt.
Y'all call it the Ville?
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, okay.
Happy Friday, guys.
Happy Friday. G. Scott with us.
You guys didn't ask me about Russell Wilson coming to town.
I hear
you guys
Russell
had
Wilson's
Salk on.
Because nobody cares.
Nobody asked me about sports anymore.
Hmm? Well, hey, anytime you want to talk about sports, I'm your guy.
Yeah, just walk in.
You can ring my bell.
This is Seattle's Morning News. Dave Ross with Colleen O'Brien. And here is Rachel Bell with a story about a new gym for people who don't like gyms.
White Center's No Judgment Fitness is not your average gym.
Would you like a donut?
Yes. Yes, I would.
Sometimes there are donuts. But more importantly, owner Sophia Walker has created a space for people who have not always felt safe or comfortable at a gym.
There's a Facebook group called Seattle Queer Exchange, and a couple times a month, trans and gender nonconforming people would be posting begging for somewhere safe they could work out. People don't like getting stared at. People don't like getting judged for being in the weights area. People really don't like cameras. They don't like lips being licked. They don't like questions about top surgery. They don't want to be policed about which changing room they're going into. They want to feel safe in the shower. Like, why is this stuff so hard?
So about 6 weeks ago, Sophia opened No Judgment Fitness, and she already has more than 50 clients.
I wanted somewhere that was going to put trans and gender non-conforming people first. And also body positivity. So I wanted somewhere that had no weight loss challenges, that wasn't going to do before, after photos of you. And I didn't want mirrors, because when you're lifting weights, one of the important prompts is to have a double chin. And as soon as there are mirrors, people stop doing that and you can end up hurting your spine. No mirrors, I find to be a safety thing.
Lauren Shea hadn't been to a gym in years.
You know, I was talking to my therapist recently and was like, I really want to get back to a place where I can find joyful movement with my body. I am also in recovery from an eating disorder. I am trans non-binary. I am queer. And gyms historically have been very unsafe places for me. Talking to me about, like, well, how much is your weight loss goal? And I'm like, I'm not trying to lose weight. I'm just trying to move my body.
Lauren has done a handful of sessions with Sophia.
I think I cried three times during our first session together, but it was out of gratitude for creating a space where I felt safe. It felt like playing. Sophia is like the best hype human, and I just love being able to come here and be myself, have a really good time, and I'm getting really super strong, and I see the difference class to class, and it feels amazing.
Sophia's goal is to be as inclusive as possible.
It's as accessible as I can make it. So I do have currently one client in a wheelchair who comes to, like, Lesbian Arms is a really accessible class because you're not using your lower body.
I love the name of this class. What's Lesbian Arms?
So Lesbian Arms is just arm day. It'll be arms and core. It just seems to me like everyone, regardless of gender or sexuality, really likes that cut lesbian arm look. And you know what it is. You're picturing it right now. Those arms are incredible. I want them.
She also has straight cis women clients.
The cis woman experience seems to be one of being extremely sexualized and of an assumption that because they're in that space, they are available. A bunch of my clients have been filmed. Way too many of my clients have been hit on. So the straight woman experience seems to be really just wanting to come somewhere where they can work out and have it be about themselves rather than have it be for the pleasure of everyone else there.
But back to the donuts. No Judgment Fitness's logo is a pink sprinkle donut with a bite missing.
Ultimately, my fitness philosophy is the Oscar Wilde quote, not smoking and not drinking doesn't make you live longer. It just makes it feel longer. I'm not doing this to also not have pizza. I'm doing this so I can have pizza. Working out and denial, like, that makes absolutely no sense.
To learn more, go to mynorthwest.com/Rachel Bell.
I love this person so much.
By the way, does that still happen? Do men go to gyms just to hit on women?
Yes. Yes. Really? I don't know. I don't go to a gym either. I work out outside with women.
Yeah. And it's uncomfortable because you know you're being looked at. You know that you're being judged. You know, you could put more weight on there. They're always making comments about you.
Really?
Oh, wanting to help.
Even now in 2022.
Absolutely.
Well, one of the things that she mentioned that I couldn't fit into the piece, which I've heard a lot of, is, you know, women just working out, doing their thing, and a guy coming over and say, do you need me to show you how to do that? Like, showing them how to lift weights. And they're like, I'm fine. Yeah. I actually had that experience. I might have mentioned this before when I was chopping wood in a parking lot, getting ready for a camping trip. And I was, my axe is in the air. I pull it down. The wood splits perfectly in two just at the same moment that a man stops his car in front of me, rolls the window down, says, do you need help?
Do like, I look like I need help,
do not
sir?
Explain me, sir.
By the way, that has happened to me, that's happened to me, too. I can also split wood, and they'll sometimes be saying, because I'm a relatively small person.
No, when you are. You
and
are
I take
not.
Up my what do they call it? The wood mall, whatever it is, right? And you raise it and say, he's not going to do it. And I go, yeah. One stroke, Dave.
It's like a karate chop.
Yeah.
Now, what's she going to do, which inevitably happens when publicity happens with these gyms, if a cis man comes and says, I want to work out here?
That's a good question. I didn't ask question. Ask, okay. I'm not sure how that works. Yeah. I would assume that certain places just give off a vibe and, you know, it might not just be a place where a man would want to work out. It's like, you know, like I said, I work out in the morning with women. We have a trainer and it says, you know, on the website, this is a workout class for women. Maybe that's illegal to do, but I don't think anybody cares.
Okay.
I think people are like, do your thing.
I just don't want anybody to rain on their donut parade. I mean, it's just so amazing. That gym just sounds like a dream place.
Rachel Bell. Thank you, Rachel.
Thanks, Dave.
Thanks for listening to Seattle's Morning News, the podcast. I'm Dave Ross.
And I'm Colleen O'Brien. You can find our podcast weekday mornings right at 9:30.
And if you subscribe, you will never miss the Daily Dose of Kindness.